Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. Here's a good question to ask a professional investment advisor. Do you invest your own money the same way you invest your clients' money? Buying and selling the same things? If their answer is, well, not exactly, or not always, doesn't that make you kind of wonder? Like an airline pilot who takes a different flight to where you're going? KPP Financial Principals invest their own money right alongside their clients. To find out more about their investment programs, just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com to sign up. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is, what is it, the 11th, July 11th, 2016. I appreciate you being with me today. And, of course, our mission, as always, is to promote above-average investing for the average investor. If you invest time and attention to the proven principles we talk about, over the long haul, you will see better results. Under the short term, you just never know. It could be great, it could be bad, it could be indifferent. So you really have to invest with a longer timeline. And everyone is looking for opportunities in all aspects of life, and searching for good investment is no different. The problem most investors have is that they have a narrow view, putting their assets to work, hoping the value rises. But in fact, assets also fall. We all know that. But there can be opportunity in falling. So assets can be bought, they can be sold, or they can be held. Right? Those are three options. And buying gives you the potential to earn a return on your money, but it also exposes you to risk of losing that same money. Selling allows you to take risk off the table. Selling also gives you fresh powder to potentially invest in a new opportunity that comes along. But it also eliminates potential gain when you sold out an asset, right? And holding assets, you know, you can reap cash flows from profits and dividends. You can just, you know, that's a holding on to. You can just make money by, you know, the cash flow and dividends that flow to you. But it also ties up capital when you just hold it. So at different times in the market, all three options can be valid depending on your time horizon, your risk tolerance, and what your goal is. Buying, selling, or just holding. It is your job to identify the opportunities in the marketplace, and that is a very difficult job sometimes. And sometimes it just means relax and hold on to your positions and don't worry about it. Sometimes that's what it means. In other situations, it might be wise just not to deploy fresh cash. Just don't buy things. Let the cash start to build. By the way, that's what Warren Buffett does. His businesses produce cash. He lets it sit there for years sometimes before waiting for a recession, waiting for something that's really spectacular. Then he'll make a big move. Yeah, he'll buy little things here and there. You know, he'll make moves. But the big moves he does with tons of cash at the recessions. And he did it last recession. Did the same thing. So think about that when you're trying to invest. Be nimble. Be open to all types of opportunities. Don't just be a buy-side person. That's okay. It can work. I'm not saying that. But there's other things you can do too. Now, do you have a question about buying or selling? Which one of those is the most challenging, you think? Buying or selling? So let's check in now with our 24-hour listener line. You know, you can call anytime you want at 888-99-CHART. So let's try, well, you want to do that first, or do you want to go to, let's go ahead and go to a voicemail.
Hi, this is Jack from Michigan. I was calling today. I had a question about when a publicly traded company is bought by another publicly traded company, kind of wondering how that impacts the stock prices of both those companies, and if it will, and company A that gets bought by company B. Do those shares convert into Company B's stock, or how that all works? And what is likely to be the net effect for Company B's stock price or valuation? Thanks so much. Looking forward to the answer.
When Company A buys Company B, when a company is being bought, almost always the company being bought goes up in price. Okay? Remember Hershey's a couple weeks ago, was a week ago or so, there was a rumor that they were going to be bought out, and someone made an offer, and Hershey stock shot up 15%. So when company gets bought out, the stock goes up almost all the time. Often, the company that's buying the other company, the stock goes down a little bit. Very often. Okay, now, what happens? A company can buy another company, a public company, we're talking about public companies here, can buy another company for all cash. And that means all the stock completely disappears, and you get, if you're holding on to the stock, you get cash for it. Just like you sold the stock, but you really didn't. So they can be all cash. Quite often, it is cash plus shares. So let's say your company you're buying is $100 a share per share. Selling the company you own is being bought, and it's at $100 per share. The company that's buying it can offer $50 in their own company stock and $50 in cash. So almost always the company that's being bought, those stocks disappear. That company stock is removed. It's folded into the new company. Almost always. And you're hearing me say almost always, all the time, you know, here, because the deals can be structured in almost any way they want to structure them. They just have to be acceptable to the company that's being bought. Hershey's didn't like the deal and rejected it out of hand, okay, when they were being offered to be purchased. And that was offer 15-20% higher than the current stock price of Hershey's. They were willing to pay more. Was it Mondelez that who was offered to buy them? And notice that the Hershey stock hasn't really fell much. It stayed high because that's the perceived value of what the offer was now. That's the perceived value. Good question. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. What did the market do today? Well, the Dow was up 80, the S&P up 7, and the Nasdaq up 32. And we're right at or above highs. The S&P, the Dow, and the Nasdaq, right up above highs. Remember the last high was back a year ago May, not this most recent May, a year ago May. And then you go back a year before that, and it was last year ago's May was barely above the year before. So the question is, are we at a top? Are we ready for another fall? Are we breaking up? Are we breaking through to new highs? That's really the question everybody should be asking themselves. That's what I'm asking myself. Is this now, are we on a new leg? And I think it's a bit soon to determine that. A bit soon. This could be one of those fake moves, you know, where it doesn't go much higher. So anything can happen in the market. I don't want anybody to think that someone like myself or anybody else has some special way of knowing. We don't. What I can look at is a long-term chart, let's say five-year chart of the S&P 500. And for the last 2 years, it's been up and down, up and down, up and down. It's right close to where it was, a little bit above 2 years ago, today, yesterday and today. Mostly because of the jobs report on Friday, which was very good. But now we're having earnings. Earnings are coming out. Are they going to be good? And the market anticipates future earnings. And it does that and say, well, is future earnings going to be better? Sales and earnings? And if they think so, the market will move up now before that happens. But I'll warn you, my experience tells me that in the summer, sometime before late fall, the market will have a correction. How big? I don't know. I'm hoping, I'm thinking that it'll be at least 10%. I'm hoping and thinking it won't be more than 20. That's what I'm hoping and thinking. Why? Well, look at the jobs report. What will the Fed do about the next meeting they have about when they look at that jobs report? And they see that Brexit really didn't have that much impact. Wasn't going to have it anyways, but they were worried about it. Might have more impact in Europe and no impact here. So what's to prevent the Fed from raising rates? Why wouldn't they? They want to. They said they want to. Does the economy look strong enough to support higher rates? Looks like it. So if they raise the rates, what do you think the stock market will do? Just so you know, last time they raised the rates in December, we had our worst January in history in the stock market. That was the most recent correction we had. So will the same thing happen or something similar? You can't rely on that as being that definitely going to happen, because when people get used to rates going up, they no longer react to it. That was the first rate increase in years back in last December. Having a second one and 6 months later, 7 months later, or 8 months later, will the market just shrug its shoulders? Very interesting. We live an interesting time, people. We really do. Okay, so that's what's going on with our market. What are we going to talk about today? What's on your mind? Well, let's hear from you. The three most important factors making your retirement money last. That's going to be our main talking point. I want to talk about the relationship between gold and silver. Both have risen this year, but I want to talk about the relationships between the two. And I want to talk about mortgages. Mortgages. Well, I haven't talked about it in a while. I want to discuss it. And, of course, Alcoa had its earnings. I think it's important that we take a look at it. Do you know that Alcoa is splitting into two companies? And as it splits into two companies, well, what do you think is going to happen? So 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. And I'll talk to you right after this break. Chart. We're going to talk to Don in Walnut Creek. How are you doing, Don?
Exception well, but I'll get better. Hey, I have a question about RIG. I own a bond of theirs, and it's 2021.
Uh-huh.
I bought it low. It's now up to about $90 compared to the par of 100.
Okay.
How stable is RIG? Personally, I think they're going to be around for the next 5 years. What's your feeling?
Chances are extremely high that they will be around and they'll pay their bonds. RIG, everybody's Transocean, provides offshore contract drilling for oil and gas wells worldwide. And Don has bought a bond from RIG. And it sounds like you bought it under par value. Is that true?
Oh, big time, yeah. And now that it's up about 80, 90 bucks, something like that, I bought it for the interest. Mm-hmm. But do I simply cash out my gains? But I prefer keeping it for the interest if it's a stable company.
I think, remember, you will go back to par. For everybody out there that doesn't know about bonds, Don, par value is 100, okay? And he says it's around 80, 90. The bond he bought is around 80 or 90 right now. And he bought it substantially lower than that. So not only is he getting an increase in value of the bond when he cashes, when it matures, he'll get all that. He'll get $100 per par value, and then he's getting the interest, whatever that interest rate is along the way. So maybe the bond's paying 3 or 4 or 5%. I don't know, but
No, actually, with this bond, it also said that every time the credit rating drops, RIG's credit rating just dropped down to, I think it's triple C or something like that. But every time the credit rating drops, the coupon, if I understood it correctly, actually increases. It's like, well, it's a high interest rate now,
right?
Because it's a gamble.
Yeah. It could depending on how the bond is structured, Don. I'd have to read how it's structured.
Yeah.
Generally, your coupon stays the same, generally. And for everybody else, Don just informed us that RIG's bond is now junk. The rating is junk at triple C. And junk means risky, meaning they need to pay higher yields to attract people to buy it. So his question is, if I hold it, will the company survive and give me back my money? The only danger you have, and you're mentioning it, is that the company goes under and then they can't pay their bond. Is RIG going to go under? No, probably not. The chances are extremely slim. Extremely slim.
Okay?
Okay,
thank you.
Appreciate the call, Don. Thank you. You're listening to Invest Talk. As with most things in life, following the crowd is the surest way to disappointing results. You really have to ignore hype and all that talk out there. So let's focus on the fundamentals. My number is 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. What's our talking point today? Our main talking point. The three most important factors of making your money last in retirement. And we're you always hear everybody have the list of goes on and what you should do in retirement, right? But if you're just looking, you just step back and say, do I have enough money in retirement? Am I bringing in enough money? Or can my money make money? Or my other assets make enough money in retirement plus Social Security? Do I have enough? And that's a basic question. So before you even start asking that question, you got to understand what your spending is. How are you going to know if you have enough if you don't know what you're spending or what you're going to spend? So number one is understanding how much money you're going to spend and need. How much? Once you understand and know how much you're making, then you can look at your assets and see how much money it produces for you. We're talking about liquid assets, rental properties. Your house that you live in, it really is not going to produce money for you to live on unless you do a reverse mortgage. But, that's what you have to look at. And then you have to correctly gauge the growth rate of your investments. Is it going to stay up with inflation? Is it going to grow fast enough? And I think some people overestimate. Matter of fact, many, many pension plans are way overestimating how much their pension plan, the pension system, the pension that they have is going to grow. Corporations that have pension plans, they plug in growth rates in their pension plans to see if they're underfunded or overfunded. And almost all of them are way, way too optimistic. You need to punch in, if you're on a regular portfolio basis, around no more than 7%. Yes, the long-term return of the market is closer to 10. I understand that. But in retirement, you're not taking market risk. You're taking less than market risk. You have to. You should. So you got to plug in that. Okay? Plug it in. The number is growth rate. And I tell clients to use 4 to 4.5% as your withdrawal rate from your estimates, from your assets. 4, 4.5% a year. And that's how much you can comfortably live on. That's what I tell clients. Now, I'm a bit more conservative to some and a bit less conservative than others, but I think that's about right. So understand how much money you spend. Understand the total value of your assets and how much it can produce. And don't be over the estimate of production. Don't be over generous in how much it can pay out. Be conservative. And, as I talk to people, most people are fairly conservative. They're not. They're using common sense. They understand this. Okay? So don't think they don't. They do. Okay? So, many of you take advantage of our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. You can get a question anytime you want. Let's talk to somebody about that.
Hello. I'm a longtime podcast listener, and I had a question for you about Target. I'm thinking about picking up a position, and I was wondering if you like it at this level. What's your valuation, and where would you put a valuation in about a year from now? I'll be listening on podcast. Thank you very much.
Okay, Target symbol is TGT. I kind of like Target. I don't own Target, but I kind of like it. Operates 1,800 stores, 1,792 Target, Super Target, and City Target stores in the U.S. in general merchandising. Most people in the U.S. have been to a Target. Okay, Target is very consistent. That's what I like about Target. They're not growing very much. They can't because they're a $42 billion company. The first four quarters ago, they were growing 2 and 3%. The last two quarters, their average growth has fallen 3%. So it's struggling to achieve some growth, and most companies are. But what's the value of the company, you ask? P/E ratio right now is 15. They're going to make $5.14 this year, then actually $4.89 this year, $5.14 next year, and then $5.64 the year after. So that's about a 10% growth in earnings. But sales are not growing, so they have to do that another way than growing sales. Well, that's not a good thing. It's a $72 stock. Okay, so at $5.64, and it's a 15 PE, I think that's fairly priced, right about where it is. That's a fair price. Do I think it's going to go up? It probably will. It might go up into your low 80s, but it's a fair price right where it is. You know, so if you own it, I wouldn't sell it, but I would be very careful right now because it's moving off at a double, triple bottom, which was around 60, high 60s, 67 or so. Now it's at 72, and it looks like it wants to go higher, but it's going to fill a gap at 73. Remember, 72.54. After it fills that gap, it's going to have a struggle to get to the recent high of 83. So don't be too optimistic on it, but I'm positive on Target. I like it. We're glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. Think about the risks you're taking. The potential for greater returns comes with greater risk. And understanding this crucial trade-off between risk and reward can be, you know, can help you separate true opportunities from bad ones. So take our free risk analysis quiz on investtalk.com. Look for the free risk analysis. Coming up, we're going to talk, we'd love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S., and if you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, July 20th is the date. He's set aside that day to meet with our listeners via Skype or telephone. July 20th. To set up your time during that day, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Continue now with this Monday, July 11th, Invest Talk. Steve is here to answer your questions. He's easy to reach at 888-99-CHART. Check in right now.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to James in Sonoma. How are you doing, James?
Well, I'm doing fine. I wanted to talk to you about MIC, but where this all comes from is an article that was in USA Today, I think it was yesterday, about companies that are paying out more dividends than they're earning. One of them was One Oak, Chevron, Harris, and this one, MIC. I started looking at all my companies, and this one's paying out like a 12,000% dividend. I'm just wondering, am I looking at that right? I've gone to a couple sites, and the numbers are off slightly, but they're all pretty much huge amount of dividends for the amount of money it makes. Am I looking at something wrong there?
Yeah, well, you got to look, you know, it depends on how they're reporting, because in 2015, excuse me, they lost $1.48 a share. This year, they're going to make 60 cents a share, and next year, $1.81. They pay a 6% dividend, 6.4%, which is just 6, and it's a $75 stock. So this is, you know, I'm just trying to get some average. Well, what's 6% of 75? Well, that's $7.50, right? So how can they pay $7.50 if they're only going to make 60 cents this year and $1.81 next year? How can they pay that? Where's the money coming from? Well, they have debt. They borrowed the money. And they issued shares in 2014 and 2015, additional shares, so they can support a high dividend. But you can't keep that up forever. It's not possible, James. So,
well, that's my question. And this article that was in USA Today, again, they had Chevron, One Oak, Harris, all three of those companies I own, plus this one. But this was the most outrageous, and I'm looking at that. I'm solidly in the black on this. I mean, I've owned them for years, and right, I could easily get rid of it. I'm looking at that thinking maybe now's the time.
Yeah, that one scares me. I just looked at Chevron just quickly because I thought they were fine, and they are pretty fine. They're going to make $1.20 this year, but $4.74 next year. They pay a 4% dividend on a $105 stock. So they're paying $4.50 or so, and they're going to make $4.74 a share next year. So they're covered. I don't think you need to worry about Chevron, but I would worry about the other one.
Yeah,
MIC, Macquarie Infrastructure Company Trust. That one worries me as far as I don't think they can maintain it. I don't.
All right. Well, that was my feeling too. I just wanted to see if I had the same, if I looked at the right numbers.
Yep. Thanks for the call, James. Appreciate it. Dan, Menlo Park. How you doing, Dan?
How you doing, Steve? Good to talk to you.
Good. Thank you.
Listen to your show religiously on 1220.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about, I have time for two, but one is stock symbol is WOOF. It's a veterinary chain, veterinary companies. And then Johnson & Johnson, if you have time, in terms of dividends.
Okay. Let's look at VCA Inc., which is Wolf, WOOF, kind of a neat. Provides veterinary services throughout a network of 682 hospitals, 60 diagnostic laboratories in the U.S. and Canada. It's a $5.5 billion company, and they've just been slowly going up, pretty steady. Earnings have been growing. Sales have been growing between 10 and 15% year after year, quarter after quarter. So it's really a steady eddy for you, and that's why the P.E. has gotten pretty high. At 27, because it's been so reliable at growth rates, you know, earnings and sales. So everybody likes that when it's reliable and they kind of overpay for it. So you want to pick this one up on the next dip of any kind. Any kind of dip is where you'd want to buy. Do you own it, Dan?
I bought a entry level amount today.
Okay. Well, just wait if you need to take a bigger position, just wait for it to correct. It probably will in the next few months, but it won't correct very much. I don't, because it's too steady, you know. And I think Johnson & Johnson's a stock that I sold a little while ago. Probably, when did I sell it? Let me figure this out. Because I thought it got a little too expensive. I like Johnson & Johnson. Probably, two weeks ago or so? I can't remember exactly. I really can't. But I thought it got a little expensive, and it is, because the P.E. range is 12 to 19. Johnson & Johnson is not a big grower. It's just, it's steady. It pays a nice dividend. The dividend is secure. But the price, we had a good capital gains on it. I said, well, let's take the profit on it. Because P/E ratio is 19 now, and the five-year range is 12 to 19. So I got a little worried that it may be peaking. Of course, it could continue to go up. There's nothing to stop it. But I don't like to hold overvalued stocks. I really don't.
I understand.
Okay.
Pretty good dividend?
It's a good solid dividend. 2.6%. It's not going anywhere. The dividend is not going anywhere. Okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. That was Wolf, WOOF, and Johnson & Johnson, JNJ is the symbol. We had a voicemail, 888-99-CHARGE. See how you reach us. Anybody can do it. You can do it anytime, and here's one of those calls.
Hey, guys. It's Josh from South Carolina. I was calling with a question in regards to Greenbrier Incorporated's GBX. I know the earnings came out yesterday, and the stock fell pretty rough. Let's kind of see what your guys' outlook is. Maybe 5-10 years. Company seems pretty fairly valued, and I know their profits are tied a lot close to energy. See what you thought the outlook is for GBX. Thanks for your show.
Okay, GBX, Greenbrier Company, supplies transportation equipment and services to the railroad and related industries, and it's about an $863 million company. It's not a big cap company. It's a small cap, and I like it. I like it so much that we own it in our managed accounts. It pays a small dividend, 2.7. It's going to make $5.80 this year, but next year it's going to take a hit of $3.39. Current P/E ratio is 4, but if it's at $3.30, the P/E is going to be about 9. The five-year average is 3-25 P/E. Return on equity is very high at 31%. They have not a lot of debt. Management owns 5%. Sales fell in the most recent quarter 14%. Before that, sales were constantly growing. So I like this stock. I think it's in a good area. I think it's cheap. And you know I like value. And I do think it's going to start growing again within the next year or two. I do. So I kind of like this stock. GBX is the symbol. If you're looking for a retirement planning solution that you can understand and feel confident about, take a moment and see our list of programs for KPP Financial. They're designed to simplify the individual investment process. Our diversified portfolios transition as a global market environment dictates. We move around. We don't just do nothing. If you want to find out more, ask questions on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab.
The successful investor is not perfect, but is an independent thinker who pursues information and truth without bias and never stops learning. Asking questions is part of the process. Make your call right now. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is here for you at 888-99-CHART, or ask him privately. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name's Tom. I'm a listener from New York. I was looking at ticker BIDU for a long-term position. I know they recently had some troubles with the Chinese government, but I really like what they're doing in the driverless cars and AI sector. Wanted to know your thoughts on the company and what would be a good price point to get in. Thanks, guys, and I love the show.
Well, I like Baidu. I do. Baidu is headquartered out of China. That's the part I don't like. A Chinese provider of internet search, targeted online advertising, and other internet content services. Does that not sound like Google? Yes. It's a $57 billion company. It's huge. They made $15.44 a year in 2014. This year, they're going to make $5 a share. Huge fall. Next year, $7.29. At $7.29 per share and a stock at the price of $167, it's not cheap. If you compare it with last year's earnings, it looks cheap, but don't do that. You got to compare it with next year's earnings, not this year's either, next year's earnings, because that's what investors do. That's what the professionals do. So they're looking at the growth rate, and then they're looking at the PE. The growth rate is around 20%. That's far cry from a year ago when it was closer to 40 or 50%. But it's still 20%. Remember, you're a $57, $58 billion company. It's hard to grow the size of a company very fast. But they're going to make $7.29 and a growth rate of about 20%. That means the stock price is fairly valued right where it is. It's okay right where it is. So the chart, looking at a chart, is it a good time to buy it? Well, it found a lot of support, about $160. And I think this is a good buy point here for Baidu. You could wait till it breaks above the longer 200-day moving average, which would be about $175. That would make you feel more comfortable. But it's got a lot of resistance, $185, then another at $195. A lot of overhead resistance, we call it. In other words, go up there. And just so you know, the stock has been up there before, and every time it's been up there, it's hard to get through that because investors, professionals, see that as resistance, and they react to it by selling, taking profits off the table. So, but I think it's a good price. I do. You know, it's going to be volatile because of where it is. It's China. But the internet is not going anywhere. It's only going to grow. I want to talk about the relationship between gold and silver. Gold has soared this year, 2016, but silver has skyrocketed. In January, gold was selling was worth about 77 ounces of silver. Today, it's 83 ounces of silver. 1 ounce of gold, 77 ounces of silver in January, now it's 83. So the question is, is this speculative? Has everybody speculated on gold and silver prices? Has this got out of hand? There's two sides to that story. One side is, it is a speculation that it's overheated, that it's gone too far in too short a time, and now we should see a correction. Another one is, investors are embracing risk, and they want to take that risk. They think, there's in the stock market and in gold and silver, the value of the risk is worth it. So you have two sides. Now, for me, gold mining companies, you know, I've said we've owned those, and I'm not a big gold person, have been more of a hedge against a market that might fall. But because gold, if you look at gold this year, if the market's down, gold is up. If the market's up, gold is up. So it's not acting with the market. It's acting on its own. And I kind of like that as a hedge against the market. So if people start to panic and start to sell out of the market, I don't think they might go into gold thinking that's safer. So if that happens, then I'm very happy with my gold positions. But for long term, I am not a long term gold mining company. I don't like them long term. I don't think they, you know, I don't think they have the steadiness I'm asking for that I like to see. They don't usually pay much of a dividend, if at all. There's nothing, you know, I'm just not a gold person. But I will use it as an opportunity if it comes into the market. That's what I see. Opportunity. Now, we've been in it starting last year. We got in a little bit early, but it's really worked out well this year. Let's go back to our 24-hour anytime listener line. Pick up a question there. 888-99-CHARGE.
Hey, Steve or Justin. My name is Robert from Sacramento. I had two questions. One, if you can look into the Valero stock, and I bought it at $54 a share. Since then, it's gone down to where it is now. I was wondering if you thought it was worth picking up some more to average down and take advantage of the high dividend it pays, and if that looks secure. And also, when you look up the fundamentals on a stock, it'll list about 20 or 30 items, you know, starting with gross margins, profit margins, price to sales. If you can just read through those and just kind of give a very short, brief explanation of each one. Sometimes I'll look up the definitions, like, for example, a tangible book value, and I just don't understand it sometimes. But I would appreciate if you guys can do that. I listen on podcasts. Thank you.
Okay, Valero Energy Corporation, VLO, is a symbol engaged in refining and marketing of fuels and other petroleum products in the United States, Canada, Aruba, UK. And, you know, if you're talking about book value for any company is what the company is worth if you liquidated all its assets, paid off all its liabilities. How much is it worth per share? The number of shares outstanding. Valero is a $23 billion company, by the way. And Valero is trading at a little bit more than one times book. So it's selling, you know, if they liquidate the company, you still get almost the $48 per share that it's trading at right now. That, in this modern era, is cheap. That's cheap. Now, you look at price to sales ratio. That's called the P/S. You look at price to sales, and you get, you know, well, what are the sales? Well, they're selling $15 billion a quarter, a little bit more than that right now, but it's been going down. A year ago, quarter is 25. Okay, so now it's 15. So 15 billion, let's take 15. Well, how much it is per year? Okay, and you divide that into the number of shares and find out what the price to sales ratio is. You know, every company is different. I usually talk about price earnings because most people know it. PE, price of the stock to the earnings of the company. They're going to make $6.39 a share next year in their $48 stock. So that's, what, 6-7 PE? Pretty low. Now you want profit margins. Profit margins, you like to see them rising. Where they are exactly now is not as important as the direction that they're going in. So you want a profit margins increasing. You listen to Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. I was calling because I was interested in First Solar, and I was wondering if them going down, whatever, 10% as of call, made it a good buy. Thank you very much.
First Solar. FSLR is a symbol, manufacturing and sells solar modules for residential and commercial markets in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. $4.7 billion company. It sells about $800 million, $900 million per quarter of these things. So it's a pretty good size company. Earnings are going down 20% this year, then another 28% next year. That's the problem. Sales are erratic. For instance, in the first quarter or the last quarter of last year, that was down 7%. First quarter of this year is up 81%. And one of the things you got to think about First Solar and those kinds of companies is government subsidies for individuals to put these solar panels on the roofs and stuff. And when they disappear, the stock tends to take a dive, or an starts to fall because they don't have the subsidies from the government anymore. So it's very difficult on these kinds of companies to say, oh, it's very solid, because you just don't know. It depends on how much generous the government decides to do. I think they should stop all that stuff. All corporate welfare kind of things should be stopped. And this is corporate welfare. I don't care. You know, you can be a green person or not a green person. It's still corporate welfare. The company should be able to make it on their own. Far as value, the company's going to make $3.08 next year. It's a $46 company. So what was that, 12, 13 PE? If you look at a current PE, you'll say, oh, that's pretty cheap. It's on 5 or 6, because they're looking at this year's or last year's earnings, not next year's earnings. Return on equity is only 10%, a little soft, in my opinion. I'd like a higher return on equity. Not much debt, though, hardly any. And management doesn't own any of this, so that's kind of a concern. Is it a good bargain right here? Well, I'll tell you this. It's come down here before, and it's bounced off of the price of $46 before. I like that. I like it a lot. So it's trying to find support right where it is. And I think that's a good, you know, bounced off this low before. Last year's, it hit three bottoms last year, and it was right around, $42, $43. Today, it's at $46. So it's very close. So I kind of like the fact that it's at its low. I don't like the fact that it's not cheap based on next year's earnings. It's not over expensive, just not cheap either. Mortgages. We haven't talked about mortgages in a long time. Mortgages have fallen to the lows again, because the Fed did not raise rates. And when they did raise rates in December, the rate that the Fed charges banks, the mortgage rates fell. And now they're at lows because Fed Reserve didn't raise rates again this most recent meeting. And from the minutes of those meetings, we see that half think they should raise them, half think they shouldn't. I have a feeling they're going to go up. The next meeting, I think, is the end of next month. I think that's when it is. Is it? Yeah, I'm not sure. But if you're not going to refinance your mortgage now at this low rate, when would you do it? Why not do it? Take advantage of cheap money. Take advantage of your money. If you're looking for a home, first-time buyers, it's one of the reasons why the prices are high is because mortgage rates are so low. So if you're not going to do it today, when would you do it? Do you think rates are going to go lower and lower and lower forever? I don't think so. I think we're very close to where they'll bottom out. And this is the time, if you're going to refinance, could you get a little bit better rate, just a tiny bit better? Yeah, it's possible. But why take that chance? Let's go to Denny in San Jose. How are you doing, Denny?
Oh, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to know the entry point for Amazon and the exit point for Cisco.
Okay, entry point for Amazon. I think it would be really good, about $680. That would be a perfect, good, solid entry point. And what is it, Cisco? C-S-C-O. Exit point for Cisco. Well, I don't have one. You got to follow it up because it broke new highs a couple days ago. So you don't really have one. So you just got to follow it up as it keeps rising and put a stop loss maybe, a few percentage points below whatever price it is in the day. So there's no really exit point for that, Cisco. And we're looking at charts. How do I do it? Look at charts, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial and registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, our firm, we want to thank you for listening today. So let's do it again tomorrow on the next Investing.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.